When you look at life, you realize very quickly that we either live powerful lives or we live lives of impotent connection point. We either experience the very best that God has for us or we miss that. And an amazing thing is oftentimes what seems so trivial becomes dramatically significant just with a few words or a few moments or a particular life experience. And I'd love to confess to you that every single day I live so connected to experiencing everything that God has for me. But the truth of the matter is, that would not be true. I, like you, at times, like the more convenient way. I like the easier way. Yesterday, I flew into the airport, and whenever the plane touches the ground, I turn my phone on, and then I ask the Lord, let this plane park near that tram so I can get straight out of here. Please don't put me at A1, B1, C1, D1, E1. Well, he turned that onto that tarmac and turned off tarmac and turned and started headed toward B1. Well, I can tell you my flesh just immediately got all over me. I thought, I've got to walk an extra mile. And it may have been the Lord's judgment on me for the buffet I ate the night before. I'm not sure. Because I went to a seafood buffet that was unbelievable. But I walked that distance and got back and I realized that my whole focus was on me. What's convenient for me, what I want. I turned the corner there at baggage claim. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but sometimes you can see a story unfold and you don't even know the people. Little emotional snapshots. There was a young couple standing there as I turned the corner. He was reaching towards her, and whatever he said, oh, I would have loved to have read his lips. Because whatever it was, she burst into tears uncontrollably. And then he tried to approach her again, weeping uncontrollably. Then she picked her phone up, began to dial a number. I wondered who she was calling. I wonder what he'd said. And I realized in that very moment that young couple, maybe their lives were coming unraveled. Maybe he was making a choice to walk away. Whatever it was, you could feel the power of that moment because the pain was so distinctive. And as I walked by them, my first thought was, I wish I knew them. Because the first thing I would do is confess that I got frustrated about something as trivial as gate B1. And then I would say, let me introduce you to what can help you face life and face your circumstances. And you see, what happens oftentimes in our lives is we don't understand the real need to have a powerful life. We don't understand how important it is that we focus in on what will get us somewhere. I'd love to confess that was my only fleshly moment in the entire week, but it wasn't. One day, I had worked about 15 hours. And at the end of that day, I was not here. I was out of town. I said, Lord, please don't let anybody call me or text me. Let that phone not vibrate. May it just be peace beyond understanding in this room. And you know, it was my desire for what I wanted. Did the phone ring? Did the text blow through? And before I picked up the phone, I said, Lord, you know, I realize I wanted this. But I want what you want. And if I'm supposed to help, I want to do it in the right spirit. Well, on that phone was a text from a young girl that I've known since she was a little girl. She's now a grown woman, has a little child, and her husband is a soldier in Afghanistan. And oftentimes I think that we fail to realize how important it is that we pray for these young men and young ladies who are representing this country in foreign lands. And here, her message was, I wonder if I could ask you to pray for us. Well, you can imagine, after processing life the way I had after that 15-hour day and wanting to do it my way, how 180 my heart went to the very essence of what makes it tick. And I wrote her back and I said, I'd love to pray. She said, I want you to know that my husband was on mission yesterday. One of the young men with him lost his life. Two of the young men with him had their hands blown off their arms. My husband took a bullet to his helmet. Would you pray? Would you pray? Would you ask your church to pray for him? It's his third time there. He got another bullet, but they won't tell him where he got hit at. They sent him back on mission. So it must not have been life-threatening. But when I got done with that text, I said to her, you know, I'd be more than happy to have our church pray for you and to pray for him. His name is Dan. And if you think about this week, think about living a powerful life and asking God to protect him. And I want you to imagine for a second, you're living life in a trivial way, and all of a sudden you get a text. I look across this room. Some of you are artists. What would you do without your hands? How would you do what it is that God's given you to do? And you see, oftentimes, the very essence of how God has made us, we ignore because we want what we want. And today, this message, I hope, will sink deeply into your heart. Because what I want you to walk out of here going is realize something. You only get two choices: to trivialize what is absolutely significant, or to center your life in his purpose so you can experience his power. And for me, I don't want to miss those moments. I don't want to miss that point of being able to help someone realize that, yes, we serve a God who can protect that young soldier, the father of that child. Can you imagine for a moment every time she gets a message, we've been in another skirmish, we've been in another battle? And what happens to us is we get insulated from what's really critical, because we can live without having power connected to our lives. We run on autopilot. And my encouragement to you today is, as we listen and as we dig into this subject, I'm going to say two or three things that I think I hope are very, very relevant for you. But I woke up this morning realizing something, that if we don't get what it means to connect into his power, then there's no way to live effectively, because the world will throw too much at us. And without his power, we're in big trouble from the get-go. And so if you think about it for a moment, you have to think about your own journey. And I want to ask you a couple questions. Because today we look, and we've been in a series on reflecting particular things. We've talked about reflecting his grace, reflecting his love last Sunday. And today we talk about reflecting his power. And if you have your Bible, we'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As you turn there, a moment ago I referenced for you that all through history, people have misunderstood the power of God. I referenced for you Pharaoh. And I want to read just a few words to you, because we know that Moses, as his representative, had a responsibility to convey the message to Pharaoh of who God was. And listen to what happens in just a few short verses, because I want you to understand something. All through history, there have been those who thought they had power, but they missed it. Because the only real power in life is connected to the one who designed us. And as we submit our lives to him, we begin to experience and see his power at work in our lives. And if we are powerless, it means, and you'll learn this today, it means that we're not in love with the right person. You'll see that. But listen to these few verses, just to kind of get a feel for what the Lord said. Exodus chapter 9 says this: Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But listen to this. But indeed, for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name throughout all the earth. And listen to what it says about Pharaoh. Still, you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. When you read this, you realize something. All of history says it. Job encountered it. Moses encountered it. Daniel encountered it. The prophets encountered it. They were all battling the same thing. And that is the people that thought they were powerful. But we serve a one who puts up kings and puts down kings, who directs the steps of our journey. And so I want to ask you today, when you think about your life, I just confessed to you a couple incidents in a span of 7 days. How often do you, when you think about it in your life, how often do you find yourself empowered by God, knowing you're doing exactly what it is you're supposed to do? How often do you feel, I can zero in on being exactly who I'm supposed to be because I feel God's power at work in my life? How often do you struggle to access that power? You see, the reality is that if we do not connect into that power that comes from God, then we'll not have the capacity to face the challenges of life, because life throws lots of challenges at us. But if you think about it in your own journey, you have to ask yourself, if I want to live a powerful life, then how do I access that power? And that's one of the things that we're going to look at today, because what I want you to see is that there is something that God intends to do in our lives that is reserved exclusively for those who choose to love him. And if you have your Bible open, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 9. And as you're turning there, I want you to understand the basis of why Paul writes these letters. This letter is written to a people who had a misunderstanding of where power would come from. They believed they were in control. And they believed that they could hang on to what the world threw at them and experience what God intended for them. And I want you to see and understand today, as you think about your own life, there is nothing the world can give you that can compare with what God can give you. And in verse 9, notice what it says. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And don't miss that phrase, love him, because that's where the power comes from. Now, when you look at those verses, you immediately realize something, that Paul takes a verse out of Isaiah 64 and a verse out of Isaiah 65, blends them together to remind us that all through history, God has been looking for those who would love him, that would follow him. And so what he does here is he brings to us an understanding of how critical it is that we grasp that our eyes haven't seen it, our ears haven't heard it, neither has entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for them. You know what we do at times? We try to get what we can prepare for ourselves. You ever try to make a relationship work? That wouldn't. You ever tried to do something that he didn't intend for you? He didn't intend for you to go through that. And yet, what happens? In our own capacities, we believe that we are capable of accomplishing everything. And yet the reality is that if you look clearly at the Word, you read the Bible from cover to cover, you'll realize God had a message all along. Trust me, and you experience what I have for you. Do it your way, and you experience what you long for. And so today we come to this place where Paul has grabbed hold of these Corinthians. And it's interesting, if you look back at history, one of the things you'll discover is that Corinth was a town that had thousands of prostitutes. The people of that city believed that they could have everything that they wanted whether it be committed in one relationship and moved to another, and all of a sudden Paul comes into a town and says, no, that's not the way you live. That's not the way you experience life. And so he confronts them with the reality of what their calling is all about, that God has called them to live a different kind of way. And you and I must recognize and heed what the Scripture talks about here, because here's what happened. The Corinthians in Paul's day were sophisticated people. And what I want you to see is that the power of God is not connected to a sophisticated pathway or pattern of thought. It's connected to a simple trust and faith and love in God. In fact, when you think about your own journey and you think about where you are, you got to ask yourself a question as it relates to your own journey. Where has sophistication got you? Look at our culture. We have created a mindset that says everybody can do anything any way they want to as long as it's right in their eyes. What's it done for us? Not much. Because create more pain, more difficulty, more heartache. We sophisticated. We live in a day where we can have a piece of technology do everything for us. We have so much technology blowing through our lives that seldom do we ever grab hold of what could actually transform our journey. Some people more upset when cable goes down for an hour than if their heart was blowing out, because they were going to miss their show. What have we done in society? We've created what is called reality TV. We get to watch how people live. Millions of people. Now, pray tell me, do millions of people live like those kids behave on Jersey Shore? Do millions of people keep up with the Kardashian? I mean, think about what we've done. We created a mindset that is all about satisfying the flesh. And we get absorbed in it. The Real Housewives of. What does that mean? It means, listen carefully, that we have created a sophisticated approach to how life works. Everybody do what's right in their own eyes, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to discover. That God's intent for our lives is to live it His way, not the world's way. And so I want you to think about the last time you lived that sophisticated approach and went at it that way. In fact, it's not a sophisticated faith that makes the greatest impact. It's a simple faith that's centered in love and faith in Jesus. That's what makes an impact. How do you help someone? We have missionaries right now in London. Anybody done any studies about how many people believe in God in London? I'll be speaking of that in the days to come, because I'm going to speak to what happens. What happens when a culture surrenders itself to something less than God. You go to that town, you realize something. It's an empty place where people have no hope. We got two young adults that came out of this church. They're building bridges of hope every single week. Bridges of hope. Some of the prayer requests that I hear, I'd like to get on the BBC and announce God's at work, because two people had a simple faith. You see, that young couple's in London. They moved to America without one dime from Brazil. They went to seminary without one dime. They drove cars they never bought because God provided them. They went to school and watched God provide. They're now reaching into the hearts of people who've got sophisticated with technology and sophisticated with society and culture, but missed the essence of how life works. And now they're giving them hope, giving them meaning. I want to ask you, what would it be like if we took away some of your toys? You couldn't use as much technology. You couldn't depend on as many Kindles to read your books and other things. And all of a sudden, we just gave you some scripture to focus on. Say, Lord, this is what the Lord has for you. Would you read this? What you discover is we would all have withdrawals, because we like instantaneous access to things that are irrelevant, the things that are irrelevant, versus instantaneously accessing what life really has for us, and that's the power of God. So I want to challenge you to think about this as we look at this passage. I want to show you three distinctive things. They're keys to reflecting his power. And when you read this passage, you're going to discover that Paul had something reserved for only those who love him. And I don't want you to forget this because it's, in essence, the essence of all we're talking about. The power of God is an exclusive gift that is reserved for those who choose to obey and love and follow him. Because when you make that choice, something amazing begins to happen. So we begin reading today in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but I want you to go back, if you would, to chapter 1, verse 26, because I want you to be reminded, verse 1 of chapter 2 begins with the word and, which means he's following up what he's already started conversing about. And notice, if you would, in verse 26, what Paul says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." Well, what does Paul do here as he begins to address this issue of living a powerful life? He begins by saying, you better know who you are, because just because you appear mighty doesn't mean you are mighty. And just because you appear noble doesn't mean you are noble. He said, you better consider your calling. And then he begins in chapter 2 with a focus on what it is that you and I need to look at today. And we're going to look at it very briefly, so we can kind of zero in on what it is God has for our hearts. You'll notice, if you went in verse 1, what he says, "And when I came to you," in other words, when I arrived into your lives, brethren, "I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Watch this. "So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Now, when you read this, you immediately realize something. Paul comes at this with a very clear focus, and that is that if you're to be who you're supposed to be, if you're supposed to be the man you're supposed to be or the woman you're supposed to be, if you're to experience life the way that it's intended, then you got to be careful what you focus on. And what you discover here, and these are just three very distinctive keys I want to identify for you. The first one has to do with the whole idea of what we focus on. In fact, when you look at it, it has to do with being determined. And I want to encourage you to develop determination to maintain a singular focus. And that is, what is it that God has for you? What kind of power do you operate in? What kind of strength can you depend on and rely on? And you see it by the way that he says it. I mean, in verse 1, you'll notice he makes this statement, a very powerful statement, because he says, "I did not come to you with superiority of speech or of wisdom." You know what he was saying here? He was saying that if we are to live powerful lives and to have the right kind of focus, we have to master the message of what it is he's saying for our life. We have to master that. We live in a day of multitasking, don't we? Everybody that lives thinks they can do four things at one time. And yet, I was reading the New York Times 2 weeks ago, and it had done an exhaustive study on those who multitask, who think they can. You know what they discovered? Most people can. Less than 5% can actually do two things at the same time. You ever try to do two? Ladies, have you ever tried to cook and do one other thing at the same time, and you burn what it was you're cooking? Thought you could multitask? Have you ever been sitting at your computer in the middle of something and you're doing two other things and the phone rings and you keep typing on a computer while you're talking on the phone? What do you discover real quick? You better go back and reread what you type, because you may be saying something you didn't intend to say. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been multitasking and you were typing a message and you hit send before you wanted to? And you realize, uh-oh, I just said something I shouldn't say. You ever been on Facebook where you messaged somebody you thought was a private message and went public across the entire domain of 1 billion people reading it? You see, the reality is sometimes we get focused that we think we can do more than one thing at a time. And let me tell you what Paul's saying here. We have to learn how to master the one thing that will get us where we need to go in life. Because if we get that, we get the best of life. And that's why he said, I didn't rest on my wisdom or my speech, but I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. And here's what he said. I gave you the one thing that would get you where you need to go. I had the privilege of preaching the gospel all over the world. I meet people from every walk of life. But I always know there's one thing that transcends every language barrier, every dynamic, everything that I encounter, and that is a message of hope that could change their world. We were in Argentina last summer. A lady walked into that church with 80 years old, first time ever to be in a church building. I can remember it so vividly. She didn't know what to do. She'd never been to a place like that before. When she set aside all of her preferences, she began to listen, she began to realize something. She needed what we were talking about. Because she was 80 years old and she was battling cancer and she needed hope. Let me tell you something. Hope rests in the name of Jesus. And what you discover here is that Paul made it clear that I declare to you the testimony of God. But not only did he want them to master the message of hope that was coming from God, but he also wanted them to understand something, because it says he came in fear and in trembling. And in fact, in verse 3, it says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Have you ever, and by the way, Paul's not identifying how he was weak. In fact, the truth of the matter is different than that. You ever had something so important to say to someone that it caused you to just shake? I don't want them to miss this. I want to say it the right way. Well, he's saying it that way to them. And what he's doing is he's making sure that he's positioned in order to accomplish God's purpose in his life. And I want to tell you what you discover sometime. If we're not in the right place, doing the right thing, hearing the right thing, how do we ever expect to encounter and experience what God has for us? And if you're not careful, you'll go at it the wrong way, with pride or some other aspect. And what you discover is, who does God give grace to? He gives grace to the humble, those who are willing to listen to him. And so first of all, we need to make sure that we determine in our hearts to have a singular focus. And you may be sitting here saying, you know, if I could just get there, I want to take you into my third trivial fleshly moment this week. I hate to confess three in one week, but been one of those kind of weeks. On a particular day, phone rang, and it was somebody I've been trying to help, but I can't quite connect the wires. You ever done that? To them that they don't quite get it. And it's because I'm saying something to them too simple. They want a sophisticated response to what it is they're facing. When the phone rang, you have caller ID on your phone? You ever have a number pop up and you say, oh no? Well, I have a few of those, not many. But oh no showed up. I probably ought to just label their number, oh no, and then I'll hit that red button instead of the green button. But the truth is, oh no called. And I was conversing with this person, and I said, I'm going to teach you a concept and a principle I don't want you to miss. I'm going to tell you the same thing I've told you five times. Person on the other end, oh no, said, you got to be kidding. You're going to tell me the same thing? See, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I'm going to tell you that until you come to the place where you trust the Lord, it's never going to work. And I'm going to tell you what you discover in life. It is really hard to trust the Lord. When you have somebody not doing the right thing, anybody ever have a wayward child? And you're thinking, man, if I can just fix her, you can't fix her. You can trust the Lord. If I could just fix him. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Paul comes to this place. In fact, you notice it in verse 5, because notice how he says it. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Oh no, He just wanted a sophisticated answer. If you do this and this and this, then you'll get this result. What did Solomon say? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You ever tried to fix somebody and you actually did and they turned out a whole lot worse than you anticipated? Sometimes we get in our minds, you know what, I can fix him. You can't fix anybody. But what you can do, you can trust the Lord to do something amazing. I do that all the time. I say, Lord, do something amazing. In fact, it's my prayer. My prayer last night was getting ready for church. So, Lord, do something amazing. You see what would be amazing here today? Is that if we came to the place where we all acknowledged that we need to trust him. Wouldn't that be an amazing testimony itself? That all of a sudden, everything rested in his hands. We didn't trust our intellect. You see, when someone comes to my office, they don't look at what degrees are on my wall. They look at what is in my heart because they know I'm going to point them in a direction that will cause them to trust and move forward. That's why God's doing an amazing thing in this place. We're pointing young and old, every walking background. I mean, I hope you saw the contrast today as we experienced baptism. One kid on the front side of life, another young man in the middle of it, but both standing in the same place, trusting the Lord. That's what we're about. Well, one final thing before we finish, and that is verse 6. You discover that Paul begins to give them the basis of living a powerful life. And I want to take just a moment to help you understand what Paul says here. Because look at verse 6 and notice how he says it. I want us to read through verse 10. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. You realize what profound statements he makes here? Because what he starts out by saying is, it's impossible to access his power with human capabilities. He says, you can't do it. You can't access it. You ever tried to access one of your accounts and you forgot the password? I mean, you all of a sudden you punch in. Maybe you're one of those people that has 4 digits that represent everything. Maybe it's 1165 or 2294, 3355. The reality is, with all the sophistication of our day, they've changed some of that, haven't they? Now you have to have a letter and a number. Now you have to have 6 digits instead of 4, and sometimes 8 or 10. And what happens is, you go to access something that's yours. You own it. But you can't remember the code. You punch different numbers in. Listen, what Paul's saying is, if you want to access his power, you've got to know the code. It's interesting because the code to all of his power rests in 5 letters. J-E-S-U-S. When you access that power, something amazing begins to happen. You see, our humanness could never get us there. Have you ever punched the digit several times and after a while in frustration realized you don't know the number? You created it in one of your moments of being awake in the middle of the night and you lost the number? Well, you know what? That's what life does to us at times. Life throws at us circumstances that in the middle of the night we think, I can fix this. I can handle this. But it's impossible. Because the code is a different code. One final thing as we finish. When you look at verse 9, what you discover is there is complete access to him and to his power granted to those who love him. And if you were to go through the entire Bible, you would find a common theme. If you love me with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you'll find me. If you surrender yourself to access who I am by loving me completely. And what I want you to think about today is, I hope you'll go away from church thinking about two very significant thoughts. One of them is, you can complicate anything you want in life, but when you get done complicating it, it's going to come back to simple trust. Simple trust. And sometimes the reason our dreams don't unfold, we trust in the wrong thing. We're trusting our mate, trusting this person, trusting that person. We trust in the wrong thing. So be sure to trust him. And the second thing that's so absolutely essential is that you recognize that if you're going to experience his power and reflect it, you got to love him. Have you had anybody say to you, I love you, but they walked away? That young couple at the airport, as I was watching them, I said to myself, I wonder how many times he said, I love you, but I love you when, or I love you. But it wasn't enough, because you saw before your very eyes the uncontrollable tears of a love that couldn't get them where they needed to go. You know, in life, sometimes we will experience rejection and pain. Sometimes those we love the most will walk in the wrong direction. But I'm going to tell you what you discover. You never go in the wrong direction moving towards loving God more and more and more. And what we need to do today, we need to realize something. We need to love him more. We need to love him more. We need to trust him more. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You get powerful. You get so powerful, people be confused by you. They'll say, what's up with that guy? What's up with that girl? And what you'll discover is, what's up with you is something absolutely amazing. If you're here without him, what you discover is, it's impossible to connect into this power without Jesus. And that's what we live and believe. I've watched it. I was telling Nathan back before baptism today, when I came to the Lord, my mother was not a believer. She was 58. She came to know Jesus. She's 82 or 3 now. And I think about the difference. She's experienced his power for 30 years. You can experience it as well. Just be willing to say yes to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for how awesome you are. How distinctively you direct our steps. And Lord, thank you that we can, in all honesty, convey our hearts that we need to trust you more to experience your power. Lord, I think about what would happen if this entire body was empowered by you. What would happen is lives would be changed everywhere. Everywhere. But it begins with us. And so, Lord, may we trust you and may we love you in an amazing way. In Christ's name, amen.